six. Right, this is Mary DeCook. I'm interviewing Sister Mary Francine Gold.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking into this. Sister Mary Francine Gould, it's June 9th, 1999. We're at Marion Hall. This interview is part of the Mundelein College History Project, and the tape will be placed in the Mundelein College archives, which are in the Gannon Center for Women and Leadership at Loyola University. Sister, I'm glad to be here today.
I'm glad to have you.
Good. And I know you have a good story to tell because you told me yesterday and I gummed it up. So tell me, I'm interested in you putting a little bit on the tape here about your early life.
Okay.
You know, before you were first missioned at Mundelein, up to that point.
Well, I lived in St. Columbkill's Parish, but when I started to school, I went to the BVMs at St. Vincent's.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished grade school, we moved and I get to Lourdes where I had the BVMs again. And then when I went in an Immaculata for 1 year. And then when I finished at Immaculata, I went to what was then Mount St. Joseph, now Clark College. And when I finished 4 years at Clark, I would enter the novitiate, 1927. Then I went to study, after my novitiate, I went to study at St. Louis University for a year.
Now tell me a little bit about how you got that assignment.
Well, when we were professed, we all met with, each one went with the provincial, and she told where you were going. And I could hardly wait to tell her where I was going, it'd be so important. And when I got in, she said, "Sister, you will go to Chicago and await orders." No information. So I went to Annunciation in Chicago for about 2 or 3 weeks. Still nothing, no information. They couldn't think what on earth to do with me. And then finally the news broke. I was to go to St. Louis, study education, which I had never been crazy about, but I had no choice. I went to St. Louis with Sister Sylvester. And we lived in the convent there and went to this university.
Now, Sylvester had come from Mount Carmel with you?
Yes.
We were always told that there were 5 sisters sent on the study.
Sylvester went, and I went to St. Louis. And I don't remember exactly where the others went. Sister Irma.
Irma, I think, went to Columbia.
And Sister John Michael, who later was president of Clark.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Sister Columba.
Columba.
And Columba died fairly soon after we were professed. And Sylvester didn't live too long.
Columba John Michael went to Michigan. Columba John Michael went to Michigan, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Well, Columba was the treasurer at Mundelein when I went there.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And John Michael was the president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So tell me about St. Louis.
Well, we lived at the convent, Sylvester and I. And we went over a block away to the university. Mm-hmm. And in order to get to we had classes at different times, but we had to go, we couldn't go from the convent a block away by ourselves. We had to have a companion. So we all each had to match off, go whichever way, whichever one had to go to the class. We went to class and sat in the library while the other one was going to class, and then we went back together, and we went back together.
What was Sylvester taking?
Math.
Math.
I remember her title better than I remember my own. Hers was the lateral area of an oblique circular cone in terms of elliptical integrals.
that's impressive. Was that the title of her thesis? Was that the title of her thesis?
I know.
Or her.
Well, what she did in order to make the study of this lateral area, she got a this, what do you call it, this stuff where you put this silver a stick into a hole, you know, make dolls and whatnot. And so she made this lateral area of an oblique circular cone.
And that was her specialty.
That was her. That was her thesis.
Yes.
Title.
What was yours?
The comparison of this, the educational theories of Satelito and somebody else. I can't think of his name right now. Mm-hmm. Two medieval educators.
Oh, that's interesting.
I found it very boring.
Very boring.
I did what I could.
If you had your choice, what would you have done? If you had your choice, what area would you have chosen for study?
Well, I was in a Latin major in undergraduate. I was, of course, I didn't realize it was going to be an obsolete thing, you know, but...
Well, it's not now.
Yeah.
It's coming back. So, you, when did you get to Mundelein?
Well, when we finished... I got my degree in June, and then we went up to, we went to a little bungalow next to where Mundelein is now. It's torn down, and we were very helpful at getting things ready for Mundelein.
That would be like the summer before Mundelein.
Summer before the Clark Classo started.
Did you know what you were going to teach then, or did you spend your time?
I don't know, because nobody knew what they were going to teach. But when after they decided what they were going to do, then they had so many that needed algebra, and they didn't have enough math teachers. So about four of us who had no math learned math enough to teach it. Sylvester would teach us 1 week, and we would teach it to the kids the next week. But some of them went through with their majors and they survived, so we did all right.
I live with Katie McHugh, and she told me you were she told me you were her English teacher, I believe.
Her what?
English teacher.
English, and I taught a lot of English.
English.
And while I was at Mundelein, Sister Mary Angelita, who was the head of the chair of the English department, went through my transcript, and I taught every class I ever took. And I remember when she told me I was to teach Newman, I nearly flipped. And so I thought, and I didn't think I could do it, so I thought, I got the kids that were registered for it, and I said, now I want to know what you know about Newman. So I had a little questionnaire, and they didn't know anything, so then I was all right. I could teach.
So that was your first year of teaching.
Yes. Through those, I was there for 3 years, and I don't remember which things I taught first, except this algebra, having to teach it the first year. We didn't have to do it this only the 1 year, but the rest of it, I don't remember which, but I just know that Angelita got every course I ever took, I taught.
Including Latin?
Huh?
Including Latin?
Including Latin, yes.
Latin.
Not all the Latin I taught, but I taught some Latin. And people whom I taught went on from major. I was good at Latin because I had been in a
major.
Better at that than I was at algebra. Yeah.
So, did you have anything to do besides teach?
I remember when a sister assigned me some new duty. It was number 7 of my house duties. every time anything went wrong, she said, called one of us and told, take that duty.
Did you ever do the switchboard?
Oh yeah, I had the switchboard. I remember one time I was at the switchboard and somebody came up and said, what are you doing? It was just indignant because I was turning, all I was doing was turning things off. But we took the switchboard quite a while. It was then that I did the story about took care of all the business when Justicia was busy.
But tell me again.
Well, I was at the switchboard and some man, which turned out to be a priest, was trying to get to Sister Justicia. And I knew that she was in conference with Mother Isabella. So I knew that you couldn't walk in on that. So he was persistent, and finally he said, "Well, who takes care of her business when she's not able to take care of it, as it can't be transferred?" I said, "I do," because I knew that was the only way I could get action. So he told me he was a priest talking for Cardinal Mundelein. So that gave me entree into Sister Justicia's room. I ran up in the elevator, went up, and she looked ready to tell me to get out.
Yes.
And was that.
You called Sister Mary Justicia.
And so we got to her, and then she was ready to tell me to get out when I said Cardinal Mundelein. She stopped, and I got out. I never knew what they discussed. I didn't get to that point, in spite of the fact of saying I took her business. I don't know what she did. But she never knew that I did took care of her business when she wasn't around.
Well, you used her ingenuity. She ought to like that. So, tell me about the girls. There were 384 students that first year. Now, I understand that some of them were freshmen.
There were juniors.
Mm-hmm. What kind of girls were they? Where did they get them all?
It just seemed like when I look at the group now, they didn't seem any different. Mm-hmm. You know.
How did they recruit 384 students? Where did they come from?
I don't know. We were so busy taking care of them, we didn't ask where they, they were there, and you tried to take care of them as well as you could.
There were, I read the old skyscrapers, and it seems as though every department had a club, had activities. I wondered when they had time to study.
We didn't. I remember one time Sister Madalena came on, and she said, "I've got a lesson plan." That was a triumph. And I said, "Oh, let's see it." And she said, "Number one, announced assignment. Number two, just line." That's all she had. You didn't have time to play, but you sort of, guided along.
The students seemed to think it was wonderful.
Yeah, I think the fact that we were young and enthusiastic and all took care of. Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that Sister Mary Justicia said she would take the job if she got young sisters.
I could imagine that would be, she wanted to mm-hmm. Be able to control. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, she'd have an assembly with the young sisters. I always got over in the way on the left side of the room, where the hood would hide me, so I could make faces. I didn't like all she was saying, but I couldn't tell her that.
Mm-hmm. Did she ever see the faces?
No, because I hid them. I hid them under my hood.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this sort of like novice prayers you were getting?
Yeah, it was very much like. One time, when the first time we had chapter, we were still having chapter, of course, somebody said, young sisters are supposed to go out, they don't mm-hmm. stay for it. So she took us, but she had the young sisters, she didn't have the older ones. So as each one got through, they went out, and finally it left two people. Finally, so one stayed. And the next time she said, we'd all stay.
So she was adaptable.
Huh?
She was adaptable.
She wasn't?
Adaptable.
Not to that. No, she wanted things her way. That was it. Mm-hmm.
The pictures of the student body, they all look beautiful and wealthy.
Not wealthy, that's certain. But we weren't so we weren't so conscious of the depression, I think, as people outside were, because we didn't come in contact with them, financial. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I don't know where the people came from.
Were they good students? They must have been good students.
Pretty good students,
pretty
yeah.
Good students. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever worrying about failing someone, you know.
In algebra. So you were at Mundelein for 3 years.
For 3 years, yes. Mm-hmm.
And where did you go from there?
To Clark.
Clark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you like Clark as well as Mundelein?
Well, I didn't have the pressures. I had, as I say, Justicia provided pressures for me. Mm-hmm. See, I think the trouble was, when I was Immaculata, a senior at Immaculata, Sister Justicia thought I was just wonderful. I was bright. I had a car and could drive from services, and so I was pretty good. But when I got to Mundelein, the deficiencies of my character began to manifest themselves, and she went after them. So when I got to Clark, Mary Agatha knew that I'd had a kind of a hard time with Justicia, and so she was considerate of me. So mm-hmm. I had a good time there.
Mm-hmm. So Justicia had a lot of power, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a story about how she got the Chicago police to cooperate.
Oh, sure. And like when I told you about the telephone, when the men were hammering outside and we couldn't hear, all I had to do was call in and say the Sister Justicia wanted to have the telephone transferred so we wouldn't get the noise. Mm-hmm. Easy.
So you spoke for her. Hmm? You spoke for her. You spoke for her.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But she had said she was going to be gone all day, so I was like, but she did change her mind and came home early, and here I was with the telephone disconnected. I was in trouble.
You were in trouble. You were in trouble. What's your happiest memory of Mundelein?
Well, the people, you know, all of us, the five of us who were young, mm-hmm. and then all the others, like Consuela. Mm-hmm. Consuela, the one music teacher. Mm-hmm.
It's Consuelo. Consuelo.
Consuelo. Mm-hmm. No, they were nice. We had good times, mm-hmm. in spite of
how hard it was.
Yeah.
So you want, tell me. So you at Clark. What did you teach at Clark?
Education for one thing, and psychology, which I had no hours in, mm-hmm. but I had background in the education courses. I taught general psychology for a couple of years. I didn't teach much Latin in my whole life. You know, mm-hmm. I taught some in high school, but considering that I majored in it, I didn't do much.
So where did you go from Clark?
I went back to St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. They needed a Latin teacher there. I think that was it. And I went to St. Mary's and taught high school.
Were you there for a while?
About 6 or 7 or 8 years, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Did you like St. Mary's?
Yeah, I found it kind of like funny because I was used to the freedom of a high college, and then all of a sudden I have to get kids in ranks and keep them silent and keep them not writing on the blackboard and stuff. And it just struck me funny. I got a kick out of it. It didn't take it too seriously. Mm-hmm.
Did they? Hmm? Did the students?
We got along fine.
Uh-huh. They didn't take it seriously either.
Yeah, we got along. We just didn't. One time, we were going from our classroom to the auditorium, and they went in single file because the corridors were narrow. And I'm marching down the aisle with the kids behind me, thinking how funny this is. Mm-hmm. All right. And I looked around. The kids had missed my direction to come out, and I was walking all the way down the hall with nobody behind me. And it just struck me funny.
Them too, I bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then from St. Mary's you came back to Clark?
Back to Clark. Mm-hmm. I remember just what I did do there. except that I had Sister Mary Ambrose was the superior, and when anything came up that needed to be done, she'd say, "Get Mary Francine." We were having a picnic, and Sister St. Clara, who was the home ec teacher, had to do something else and couldn't come to the picnic, so somebody had to cook the coffee. She says, "Get Mary Francine to cook the coffee for 300 people." Never. Because I cooked the coffee for 300.
Did you know how? Did you know how?
No, but I asked Sister St. Clara, and then I did what she said, and everybody drank the coffee. Didn't die.
How long were you at Clark?
Well, I was there. That was my last real assignment. I was at Clark teaching, and then I was registrar, and then I retired at Clark in 72.
Did you like being registrar?
Yeah, it was an accidental thing, but in those days we didn't ask. It was still at the place where you didn't say, "I'd like to do such and such." Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden I thought, "I kind of like this," but I wouldn't say so. So I was assigned temporarily. Finally, I was assigned. After about 2 years, I was assigned permanently as registrar.
Mm-hmm. You told me yesterday that you how you simplified the way of keeping grades or something there.
Oh yeah, we had this. We had a card that had holes all the way around, and then you punched it with a punch that would give it an opening.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put a needle, like a knitting needle, into those holes, and if you had punched the notch in it, it would drop out. So, you know, those are the ones who are in that class. So suppose you wanted to teach two courses, kids were in two courses, and you punched in, they dropped out, that they were in this other class, and you mm-hmm. had a problem, you had to figure out another place mm-hmm. to put the class. But it worked out, it worked pretty well.
So you created your own computer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's our thing. And then when we got to the computer stage, I kept this card the whole fall, because mm-hmm. I had heard that when Notre Dame went to the computer, they had to close that class for 2 or 3 days while they did something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I was all ready with my cards in case, but the computer worked.
Yes. So
that was the end of the needle and cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't remember how on earth we did things with it. You know, it's the details are misty in my mm-hmm. mind.
Well, you did what you could to make the job easier.
Yeah. Oh, it worked. It worked fine. I can remember when they were deciding what they were going to do with the nuns or summer school. And we'd have a conference with the provincials, and I'd sit there with my needle and explain to them what we could do and why we couldn't do this
mm-hmm. yeah.
with the needle.
Oh, I bet they were impressed.
Hmm?
They probably were impressed.
Oh, they were. They'd ask me about if they could want to use the needle for
mm-hmm.
things within the province.
Of course, of course. So Clark was quite different from Mundelein, wasn't it?
Hmm?
With Clark seemed quite different from Mundelein.
I suppose it did.
Was that because the students were different? Different kind of student, or?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't remember thinking things were so different. I just was always plunging into something new and
mm-hmm.
trying to learn what I was supposed to do mm-hmm. with the new things.
Yeah. So, That was your role with the punches.
Yeah, yeah. And it had to be the punches and the cards.
literally. Mm-hmm. So you came, were you at Clark when the fire occurred?
Mm-hmm. I had retired by that time, mm-hmm. but I was still living at Clark. And I was working over here as a desk clerk at Marion Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finished the work at Marion Hall, I'd go back to Clark and have lunch and whatever the afternoon. But when I got back from from Marion Hall, there was a fire going on, but I wasn't too impressed because there were fire engines there and it was a little bit of a fire. I didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, but...
Did you lose your things? Were you living in that building?
Yeah, I kept looking out and I... Every so often, another room, the glass would go out of the window and break as the fire got in there. And I kept saying, there's no... I was slept in a funny little room off the chapel, off the second floor of the chapel, off the choir loft. And the windows, my window was closed, my door was closed. And I kept saying, there's nothing happening in my room. And there wasn't. So when the fire was over, my room was full of smoke,
mm-hmm.
and full of, so my clothes, I'd wash my clothes and they still smell of smoke for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have anything burned. But I didn't get all my things back because they wouldn't let us stay very long in the building. They were afraid of what was going to happen in that building. So I only got some of my things back, some of the things I never saw again.
Mm-hmm. Well, so actually you were sort of lucky. Some of them lost everything.
Yeah. I had enough back, and then we had to decide where we were going, and Sister Carolyn Farrell organized, where there'd be rooms to go from those of us who had lived in the building, and we had some choice, and I went over to the mother house, where we were fixing the first floor, making it into an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to live in the apartment,
mm-hmm.
where we cooked our own meals. And I never had this much introduction in my life.
So you moved to the mother house.
And I stayed there for several years. No, don't. So I lived there for several years. And then, as I say, when I got to the point where I couldn't stand very long to start to do the cooking, I'd have to sit down and sit for 5 minutes. If I 1 minute for every minute I cooked, I had to sit for five, so I'm going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got so bad in my walking and my back that I kind of think they had a rule at that time that they didn't have the people in the mother house with wheelchairs.
Oh.
And so I was with a walker, and it was just agony to walk. I'm better now than I was then. And anyway, they decided I should come over here, and that was it.
It's probably because you don't have to walk so much.
No, and as soon as I got here, I got a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So I no problem.
So looking, so you've been in the community some 60?
70, almost 72 years.
72 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the most interesting thing that you did during those 72 years?
I don't know. I always enjoyed everything, I enjoyed such a contrast between teaching college and teaching high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the high school. And I had one time I had a real lively bunch of homeroom, and I said to one of them, who I knew was a large family, and I said, "What does your mother do when you get all excited like this and make a lot of racket?" She says, "Oh, she lets us go on for a little while, and then she says, now that's enough." So the next time my kids got kind of that way, I said, "Now that's enough," and like magic. I found out that was the magic phrase. You said, "Now that's enough," and everything went fine.
Mm-hmm. So that was, you like St. Mary's?
I like St. Mary's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's that clock of yours.
Mm-hmm. It's an hour.
So let it. Okay. We don't have to compete with it, but
no.
that's a unique.
It won't make any noise for another hour.
For another hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if you were going to talk to some of our new members at this point,
what's that?
Our young sisters.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the advice you'd give them?
roll with the punches.
Roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm. To try to live with, you know, with what they've got, with what they see. And with the adjustments that would have to be made as life goes on. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same. We have a lot of... I remember when I was... I used to get so bored with this meditations. We'd have to say, you were getting to pray a little bit, and then they'd say, second point. And I thought, I thought, it'll never be any different. And it was such a relief to me when we got to the point where we were on our own on the meditation and didn't have to listen to us, just change our posture with the second point.
Mm-hmm. Were you glad to see the changes of Vatican II?
Yes, I very much. I went along with them, and you know, I never had any problem with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remembered how to make a choice.
Hmm?
You remembered how to make a choice.
Oh yeah. I made a few choices that were unknown quietly. And even if I didn't make them in actual, I made them in wish, and it took.